Welcome to Myerstown Church of Brethren, Pastor Dennis. And just a few announcements this morning. This week we're praying for those on pages 56 and 57 in our church directory. And we're praying for the Long Run Church of the Brethren. And the Sanford Fellowship in Maine is praying for us. A couple prayer needs this week. Jack Gray had knee replacement surgery this week, so I want to keep Jack in our prayers. And Joyce Wagner was in the hospital but is now home with some blood pressure issues this week, so I want to keep Joyce in our prayers as well. We're starting new Bible study tomorrow evening. It's going to be online, so it's not going to be affected by the snow at all. So we'll be online. We'll be starting in Ephesians. If you'd like to join us, I think Joanne has at least one more book available in the office, but we can order some others too if you would like to join us. Most likely, if the snow forecast comes to be, Joanne and I will not be in the office tomorrow. We'll be working from home, and probably on Tuesday as well, if the forecast comes to be, is what they're saying. So you can contact me, text, email, my phone number, same thing, I think, for Joanne, okay? Text, email, phone will be available. Also, was informed this morning that today is Margaret Wenger's 88th birthday. So let's sing a happy birthday to Margaret. She'll hear it for sure, okay? So, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mark. Let's come into an attitude of worship now as Barb leads us.
All rise for the call to worship. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and that you will have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ears, and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Okay, can we all sing, How Firm a Foundation? To your bulletins for the unison prayer. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and spirits this morning, Lord, that we may be filled with your living word. Free us from our fears and anxieties, and place us on the pathways that lead to peace and service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we'll hear from Evelina.
The song I am going to sing is based on Revelation 6:12-14. Nations underground refer to earth viewed from the perspective of heaven. I will sing for you the African American spiritual, O Lord, What a Morning. And following that, I invite you to sing with me a song that I believe is familiar to you.
My Lord, what a morning. My Lord, what a morning. Oh, my Lord, what a morning. When the stars begin to fall, when the stars begin to fall. nations underground. They'll wake the nations underground when the stars begin to fall. Oh, sinners, what will you do? Oh, sinners, what will you do? Oh, sinners, what will you do when the stars begin to fall? The Christians will shout for victory. The Christians will shout for victory. The Christians will shout for victory when the stars begin to fall. Oh Lord, what a morning. Oh Lord, what a morning. Oh Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall. When the stars begin to fall.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you, Evelina. I'm going to read from Psalms 119, 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, to observe your righteousness ordinance. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continuously, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your perplexed. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy in my heart, and I incline my heart to perform your statutes. Okay, can we all bow our heads in prayer? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. May this new year be filled with joy. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, now for the hymn, Break Thou a Bread of Life. Hey, can all the children come up for the children's story?
Well, there aren't any young children here this morning, but there are children here this morning, right? We're all children. So I'm still going to do a children's story this morning because, you know, sometimes I feel like I really don't need to preach the sermon because this children's story kind of summed it all up anyhow, right? And it's usually a simpler, a nice, simple one-point lesson for us. So this morning, we're going to be thinking about God's Word. But what I was going to tell the children this morning is I have, I don't know if you call it a hobby, but an interest that I enjoy doing. And it goes way back to when I was growing up because my mother worked second shift at the Hershey plant many, many years ago. And I was the older of the two boys, so when I got home, it was my responsibility to get supper started for my dad, my brother, and I. So I kind of picked up an interest in cooking, I guess, from that time. So we got rid of a lot of them right now, but we had a lot of cookbooks at home. And I've also started a little notebook of my own where I've found recipes online and I put them in there. And I just picked up one of the ones that we had on the shelf this morning to bring with me. And I have a couple marked in there that I've looked at over the months and the years since I've had this cookbook. And it's interesting to read cookbooks sometimes. You know, you look at the recipes and think, oh, that sounds pretty good. Maybe we'll try that. But if you never do anything other than reading the cookbook, it doesn't do much good, does it? You could have loads of cookbooks and you could read through them all as much as you want. But if you don't do anything with those recipes, if you don't find the recipes, what good is it other than taking up space on the shelf? Well, the same thing can be said about God's Word for us. If we don't read the Bible, or if we do read it, but we never do anything with what we read, what good is it other than taking up space on a shelf? James tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only.
I'm going to read from Mark 4, 1 to 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him, and he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in their teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly. Since it had no depths of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do not understand this parable. When how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in him. And with these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no roots and endure only for a while. And then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of the wealth and the desire of the other things that come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay, now for the message.
Well, in these Sundays since Epiphany, we've been looking at the Gospel of Mark and some of the stories in Mark that tell us a little bit about who Jesus is. And this week, we're going to be talking about Jesus, our teacher. After being here for nearly a year, I think most of you know that pastoral ministry is second career for me. For 30 years, I worked as a public school music teacher, 2 years in Minersville up in Schuylkill County, and 28 years in the Derry Township schools in Hershey. You know, as a music teacher, listening and teaching the art of listening are important aspects of the job. As a band director, in rehearsals, I had to listen carefully for things that needed to be corrected and improved upon to create a good performance. And a big part of music education, especially in a musical performing group like a band or an orchestra or a chorus, is teaching students the art of listening. And listening is an art. Students need to learn skills like playing in tune with others, playing together as an ensemble, and playing in balance with the rest of the group. And through the development of good listening skills, the music becomes much more enjoyable. Of course, there's another aspect of listening involved in teaching, and that's just getting the students to pay attention and follow instructions. I taught 7th and 8th graders, and if you know much about early adolescence, that's not always an easy task. Sitting for 45 minutes straight for them is nearly impossible. So as a teacher, you have to keep things moving and come up with a variety of ways to teach a concept. So I can really identify with what Jesus says in the parable of the sower. It's a pretty accurate picture of every teacher's experience. Some students are like that hard path and are impenetrable. Some are like the rocky soil. You might have them for a moment, but then they get distracted and you lose them. Some are like the seed that fell among the thorns. They have so much going on in their lives, and what you're trying to teach just gets choked out by their other activities, family issues, or their social life. But fortunately, there are some, actually many, who willingly listen, learn, and grow. Well, Jesus was the master teacher, and teaching through parables was one of his teaching styles. Recall that parables are short stories that draw on themes familiar to the hearers, and they teach a moral or a spiritual lesson. And the parable of the sower is a teaching story about listening, learning, and responding. It's a parable about how we listen to God's word, learn from it, and what the listening and learning creates in us. You know, originally, centuries ago, scripture was passed on through the oral tradition, memorization, and speaking it so that it could be heard by others. Most people for hundreds of years learned the scriptures through the hearing them read in worship and recited at home. The scriptures were written on scrolls, and scripture was read in the Jewish synagogues and in the experience of the early church from letters that were circulated among the churches. Today we have our Bibles, and we're used to hearing scriptures read in church. We've heard 3 this morning. In worship, some of you might follow in your own Bible. Some may follow the scriptures as it's projected on the screens. But hearing scriptures read is still an important part of our worship. So I'd like to read the parable of the sower one more time. But this time, I would like you to just listen. It won't be on the screen, and I'd ask that you not follow in your Bible. Just listen. And then what I want you to do, and I want to do, is something a little bit different this morning and ask for your participation. So as you're listening, I'd like you to consider two questions. The first one, what words or phrases in this scripture catch your attention? And the second, can you see yourself in this parable? And if so, where? I'm just going to read the parable, not Jesus' explanation, just Mark 4, verses 3 through 9. So listen and consider what words or phrases are jumping out at you. Listen. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. So what did you hear? Were there words or phrases that caught your attention as I read? Feel free to call out your responses if you would like. Anything that jumped out at you?
Listen.
Listen. Okay. Anybody else?
Thorns.
Thorns. Okay. Good. Good. Anyone else? Well, listen was the one that jumped out at me, too. Interestingly, in this, at least in the New Revised Standard Version, Jesus begins and ends the parable with that word, listen. So the second question is maybe a little bit more personal, so you don't need to respond verbally to this one. Just think about it for a moment. Do you see yourself in the parable? In other words, maybe consider the question, what kind of soil are you? Now, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active. Because God's word is living and active, at least my experience has been that when I read a particular scripture, something often different catches my attention each time I read it. It never grows stale. What I experience in one reading or hearing might be very different from a previous reading or hearing. Therefore, the more I read it and hear it, the more I understand it. Maybe you've had the same experience, that the word impacts you differently at different times. You know, where we are in life at any particular moment can influence how Scripture speaks to us. And because God's word speaks to us that way, our response to what we hear and read in Scriptures is just as important, and maybe more so, as to what we hear or read. What God's word does in us is more important, probably, than what it actually says. Listening and learning should lead to application in our lives. It's what the psalmist was talking about in the words that Susie read back a few moments ago from the 119th Psalm. God's word needs to do something in us. And the psalmist said, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. The word was doing something for the psalmist. It was providing light for his feet and light for the path that he was on. So more than just knowing the word, we must absorb it. If we're to walk in God's light, we must be willing students. And then besides knowing God's word and absorbing it, we must apply the word to our lives. You know, as a teacher, you know when a student has truly learned when you see them applying some of the knowledge or skill without your guidance. That knowledge or skill has become a part of who they are. When God's word becomes part of us, then it provides light for the path on which we walk. Let's just unpack this parable for a moment, because the better we understand what Jesus is saying, the better chances that what he says will have an impact on our lives. First, the sower and the seed. You know, parables are metaphorical. Back in those days, a farmer would broadcast the seed in the field by hand. Well, you know, you read this parable and you think, well, either this farmer, this sower, was being extremely reckless or extremely generous, one of the two. You would think he'd be very careful not to waste any of the seed and to make sure that all the seed fell on good soil where it would grow and produce a crop. But some seeds fell on the path, some on rocky ground, then some was even cast among the weeds. But then it is a metaphorical story. And in his explanation of the parable in verses 13 through 20, Jesus says that the sower represents the teacher sowing the word. And the seed is God's word, the gospel, the good news. And Jesus says that the different kinds of soil represent the different ways people respond to and apply God's word in their lives. The soil on the path has been trampled down, has become hard and impenetrable. The seed can't get into the ground at all. Jesus says this soil represents people who hear God's word, but it never has a chance. He says Satan comes and snatches it away. These are those hard-hearted people Scripture sometimes mentions, who just shut their eyes, ears, and minds to God's word. They've put up barriers. They have this crust of self-centeredness and self-satisfaction and refuse to consider what God has to say. Therefore, God's word never has a chance to get into the daily workings of their lives. The rocky soil is deep enough to allow the seed to sprout, but not deep enough to sustain its growth. There was a small area of my yard for years when, during the summer, the grass would die off. And a number of years ago, I decided to dig down a little bit and find out why. And I didn't dig too deep before I discovered some large rocks and half a cinder block. There wasn't enough topsoil to hold moisture during the hot summer months, and so the grass dried up. Jesus says that the rocky soil represents people who eagerly receive the word, but when the problems come along, all of that early enthusiasm vanishes. There's no depth. The word can't develop roots. It can't get established enough to be an important part of their lives. And eventually it vanishes and has no influence. And Jesus said, they fall away. Now, the third kind of soil is one which I can readily identify, soil that's full of weeds choking out the growth of the seed. When I was working full-time, I didn't always have time to tend my yard as much as I would like. And I had a flower bed, and I use that term very loosely, in my backyard where I planted some wildflower seeds. I said, thought this would be one way to take care of that area. Wildflower seeds, and they'll grow and they'll take over. Well, no sooner did the wildflowers start to sprout than hundreds of thistles started to grow as well. And the thistles took over my wildflower garden. In fact, my backyard neighbor, Dave, came over and congratulated me on my good crop of Canadian thistles. Dave has some beehives, and his bees loved the thistle flowers. Jesus says the seed that fell among the thorns never had a chance to mature. It got choked out. These are people, Jesus says, in whom God's word gets choked out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. Their life is an overcrowded life, a life in which there's no room for God's word to take root and grow. These people hear God's word, but they fail to apply it to their lives. And Jesus says, it yields nothing. And there's the good soil, the rich, fertile soil that produces a crop many times over. Jesus said the good soil represents those who hear God's word, allow it to penetrate their lives, seek to understand it, work to nourish it, and grow in it, and they produce fruit. By doing so, they grow in grace and in faith, and God's kingdom grows around them. Earlier, I asked if you saw yourself in this parable. My guess is that at one time or another, you may have found yourself identifying with any or all of these four soils. Maybe there were times when you were worn down, hard and impenetrable, stressed, depressed, fearful, and God's word just didn't cut it. It didn't make sense. So you put up barriers, and it didn't have any impact on you. Maybe there were times when you were hard-hearted and shallow like that rocky soil. You had an experience that momentarily sparked the faith in you, but some trouble came into your life, and God's word just didn't take root. It never became part of who you are. And maybe there were times when you heard the word, but there was work, marriage, kids' activities, money issues, just so much going on in your life that seemed to demand more of your attention. I think we all have had God's news, God's good news, snatched away at one time or another. What's happening in our lives is going to affect how we hear and how we respond to God's word. Now, Jesus directed his explanation of this parable specifically to his disciples, and he told them if they didn't understand this parable, how would they ever understand the others? I think maybe he was using this parable to help them understand that people are going to have different reactions to their teaching and preaching when he would no longer be with them. There were going to be some who would outright reject them and persecute them. There will be those who will seem indifferent, but there also will be those who enthusiastically receive their message and join them in sharing the good news with others. What they can't do is decide who those different people might be, and then only preach to those who they think will receive the message. All need to hear. The seed needs to be sown everywhere, even in those places that might seem to be unproductive. Then let the Spirit of God do the rest of the work. One of the classes I distinctly remember from high school was my geometry class. And I remember it because the teacher basically taught to the one student in the class who got it. Math of any kind was never my strongest subject in school, and like a lot of others in that geometry class, what I needed was for the teacher to take things a little slower and maybe give a little extra attention to those of us who were having some difficulty understanding. But the teacher always taught to Marjorie, who got it. The sower in this parable was not like that. The sower, the teacher, demonstrates extravagant generosity, not extravagant to the point of being wasteful, but to the point of giving the word to all, regardless of where they might be in life. The sower wasn't wasting the seed, but allowing it to fall where it may. Then it was up to the hearer to respond. Jesus never went to only those places where he thought his teaching would fall on receptive ears. He spread the word and let it fall where it may, and the rest was up to the hearer and to the Spirit of God working in the life of the hearer. God is constantly speaking to us in every situation in our lives. God is always reaching out to us through his word. The question is, do we have ears to hear? In the world in which we live, there are lots of voices, many of them shouting at us all at once. In a world of fake news and accusation as to who is lying and who's telling the truth, sometimes it's difficult to discern which voices are the ones to which we should pay attention. For us as believers, it's easy. God's word is not fake. God's word is truth. In John 7 is the account of Jesus teaching in the temple at the Festival of the Tabernacles. The people were amazed at his teaching, but as it often was, there were those there also who were like that hard path. They wanted nothing to do with his teaching. And Jesus said to those who were listening, to all who were listening, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. It is in applying God's word to our lives that we will know it is truth. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out, Jesus said. We know the difference between truth and lies by what the words reveal about the motivations of the one speaking. Lies point to the speaker and their desire for personal glory. Truth points us to God. Listen carefully. When I was teaching music, I would frequently tell my students that hearing and listening are not the same thing. There's a big difference between the two. Hearing is a passive activity. You hear music playing in the background. You don't pay attention to the specifics of it. Unfortunately, sometimes your wife, your husband, or your child might be speaking to you. You might be hearing, but that doesn't mean that you're listening. You can hear, but not be actively involved in what you're hearing. Listening requires effort. It requires attention. It requires an effort to understand what you're hearing. And in the case of God's word, it requires a willingness to open your life to it and allow it to do its work in your life. God's word is living and active. God's always speaking to us in many and various ways. The question is, do we have ears to hear? God knows our circumstances. God knows what we need in any given moment. And God will, in his word, provide for us in that moment if we have ears to hear. If we're growing in Christ, it comes down to two things. The first is listening and learning. Do we have those ears to hear? And then God's word requires a response. What the word of God does in us is just, if not more important than just hearing what it says. God speaks and desires for his word to do something in you. God speaks to draw you closer to himself. God speaks to empower your life. God speaks to bring about his kind of an abundant life. God speaks in many ways, through the written word, the Bible, through brothers and sisters in Christ, through that still small voice that speaks to us as we pray or meditate on God's word. And sometimes God speaks in an audible voice. God speaks to us through the church and the ordinances of the church, like baptism, anointing, and communion. 2 weeks ago, God spoke to us through the symbols of the bread and the cup. He spoke to us of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our salvation. Through the touch of the anointing oil, God speaks to us. What a gift is that touch of oil, that concrete experience of God's touch on our lives, bringing that gift of wholeness, healing, peace, and God's loving grace. God speaks to us in many and varied ways, most clearly through his word, capital W, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's truth is made real in the lives of those who gladly hear the word, absorb its truth into their lives, and then act on it. Those who accept it and bear fruit, 30 and 60 and 100-fold. James 1:22 admonishes us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets us free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. More about Jesus, what I know. Let's stand and sing together. making his teaching your own, making it part of your life. That's the goal for each one of us. More about Jesus, might we each know. Might we apply it to our lives. Might we be doers of the word and not hearers only. Go in Christ's peace and go carefully, looking out the back window. Things have changed a bit in the last hour outside.